the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441-790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, well, the World Cup is just on our doorstep. Just 4 days from now, we're going to be certainly looking forward to some action right here in the Caribbean. And we are so happy from Kingston, Jamaica, although there are no matches there. The excitement, I imagine, the Jamaicans will be watching, and there's going to be commentary on radio, so they're going to be happy about that. Right through to Bridgestone, Barbados, the finals being held at the iconic Kensington Oval. So we're looking forward to that. Bad news, Jason Holder. What's gone wrong with him? I'm interested to find out. I note with interest that the press release coming from Cricket West Indies didn't state exactly the nature of the injury. But that's a big blow, Jason Holder. And he's now replaced by Obed McCoy, the Vincentian, who I suppose because of his left-handedness would have gotten into the side as well. And I note with interest as well, they could imagine Oman beating Barbados in cricket. Oh my golly, what's going on there? That really is not the kind of thing that you would have been looking for. But good news at Sabina Park. Chris Darren, who's joined us already, I wonder if he was there with the West Indies, doing very well, winning all three matches as they were preparing warm-up matches against the South Africans. So congratulations to them. But just before we go to our panel, let's go to Wendell Coppin, who, of course, is an integral part, the man in charge of cricket operations. And just want to say hello, Wendell. How are things shaping up there? Are you ready like Freddie for the start of the World Cup?
Yes, Andrew, good evening to you and good evening to your listeners wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're as ready as we can be.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
We are very ready. We're ready to play tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. All right. So any concerns?
None whatsoever.
No concerns?
No, none whatsoever.
So what's happening to Weymouth?
We're talking about the World Cup, Andrew. Games will be played at the Oval. So you ask if we're ready. We're ready for cricket.
Okay. So what about Weymouth in terms of a practice?
They're ready for cricket, Andrew. All of the engines are in place. Mm-hmm. Everything that is expected of us has been delivered, and we are ready for the start of the World Cup on the 2nd of June.
So no concerns whatsoever. Are you?
Can none
you
whatsoever.
But the ICC pulled Weymouth.
Andrew, we are ready for cricket to start on the 2nd of June. The venues that we have asked to deliver, we have delivered, and we are ready. And we're ready to play cricket on the 2nd of June at Kensington.
Well, Mason and Guest is reporting that the ICC pulled Weymouth as a practice venue. Can you confirm that?
I can confirm that Kensington will be ready for cricket on the 2nd of June, and we will be playing cricket at Kensington.
But I never asked you about Kensington. I asked you.
But I'm telling you that we're ready to play cricket. Asked about cricket. Are we ready? And yes, we are ready.
Okay. Well, let me say that on Mason and Guest, if we get our facts right here, the ICC did in fact pull Weymouth as a venue, a practice venue, because they were unhappy about the field. You want to respond to that, Mendo?
I can respond to Kensington Oval. We are ready to play cricket at Kensington Oval. And okay. About your facts, Andrew, all I can tell you is you can go with your facts. But we are ready to play cricket on the 2nd of June at the Oval.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's so no concerns at all then. I mean, you're ready like Freddie.
We are indeed.
Okay. Phil O'Wallace, good to have you on the show. Have you heard that Weymouth has been pulled, Phil?
There's a panel. Good evening to Weddell, Sherlock Hart, Movie Bird, and Heaven. My friend Carlos, I've heard anything about Weymouth. Andrew, if Weymouth has been pulled by ICC, that is something that should come into the public domain for people to know. Because obviously there were three practice venues from as far as I know, Weymouth, Windward, and 3Ws. And Weymouth was obviously a little behind because of the lack of rainfall to get out of the field up to standard. So I haven't heard anything. I saw some video clips of Kensington Oval. I don't really want to call it the new Kensington Oval. I would just say the upgraded Kensington Oval. And to look at it entices you to go there. But obviously, Wendell is saying that they are ready to start the World Cup at Kensington Oval. The teams will have to practice at venues that are allocated for practicing. So those venues are ready. That's the question.
We have five
venues ready for practice.
Yes, we have five teams that are coming into Barbados. We have been preparing three additional fields for five teams. The practice venues, Kensington Oval, UWI, the Police Sports Club that we've been preparing, and Windward Cricket Club in St. Philip. Based on the schedule, we are ready at all the practice venues that have been allocated to practice, as well as Kensington Oval, and we're ready for matches on the 2nd of June.
Doherty, anything for Wendell before he goes?
Good night to our panelists and to listeners. Andrew, your discussion with Wendell was like someone bowling to Raul Drabbit at the wall. But what I would like to ask Wendell is, you know, with the recent rainfall that we had, how did the drainage system hold up at Kensington recently?
With the recent drainage system at the Oval?
We had some rain. We had some rains recently, so I was just wondering how did the ground drain with the rains. I know it's been doing very well, but I was just asking how it did over the last few days when we had some rain.
There's no issue with Kensington and drainage. I mean, for those of you who know the Oval well, since 2007, 15 minutes after any significant rainfall, Kensington is ready to play. Nothing has changed. The work that we have done, we've done to the square, where we took out between 3 and 4 inches of topsoil from the existing square, and we relayed all 6 pitches on the square. Other than that, we've had a consultant from Sandilane who has been very helpful in terms of the application of chemicals and the timing of it and the number of liters of water per minute and so on. And the field is looking as good as it has looked since its inception in 2006 when it was opened in October. So we are extremely blessed with respect to the field and so on. But there is no need. There is no need for us to panic in terms of rainfall, and nothing has changed where that is concerned.
Okay. Tomorrow there's supposed to be some tours of the ground. Will those tours just be of the stands and facilities, or will they be members of the public on the field?
There'll be no one admitted to the field. The Prime Minister of Barbados has invited persons from across the country to come in and witness for themselves. Obviously, there's some persons who will not here at Kensington during the course of the World Cup for one reason or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prime Minister has took it upon herself as Prime Minister of Barbados to open the stadium to the public. There'll be three guided tours starting from the three W stand, and persons will walk on the outer perimeter or the outer concourse, and then go into the stands, go into the grandstand, go around to the media center, have a look on the second floor, not on the television, but on the radio commentary floor, have a look out onto the field, back into the new grandstand. And then out the party stand back into the 3Ws for her town hall meeting, which starts at 5 p.m. So there will be no entry onto the field by anyone other than the ground staff who will work at Kensington over the next couple of days.
All right.
Okay, last question. I guess last World Cup, there were TVs installed in stands and lots of other done. Would that be so this time, and has any work been done on the boxes in the various stands as well?
I missed that with the television. I missed that. You said last World Cup something about television. I missed that bit.
Yeah, I mean, their televisions were placed strategically so fans can see replays and, you know, in the regular stands, but I also asked if there was any work done in the boxes within the individual stands as well.
All of the individual boxes have been upgraded, to a state of the art at its present state. I currently like the ones in the Hall and Griffith. My favorite upgrade in the stadium. Well, the two things in the stadium: the bathrooms and the ice baths in the players' dressing room, and then the hospitality suites in the Hall and Griffith. Those are my two favorite upgrades in the stadium. Other persons have other views, but the televisions, in terms of televisions, we also will have additional replay screens. So there's a replay screen that will be housed between the players pavilion and the 3Ws, where the ambulance would normally sit on match day for international or regional matches. So over that area there's another replay screen. So persons on the southern end of the ground in the Mitchell Hewitt, the new hospitality suite, and in the southwestern corner of the Greenwich and Haynes stand would be able to see that big replay screen television as well, which has been installed. In terms of the television in the strategically placed, their televisions that are, as you said, that will be in suites as well as in the stands for persons to be able to see within the boxes and so on. So there has been a significant upgrade. As the Prime Minister alluded to, the type of money that we've spent here at the Oval would mean that you're not going to leave the televisions that were here in 2005 and 2007 and 2011 in a new Plus Stadium. So it has been upgraded. So when you do come, Doc, what you will be looking at is a bigger screen television, even when you in the box that you and Andrew would be accommodated in.
Right. Well, in the interest of time, we got to move on, Wendell. Now, there were a couple of things that I wanted to ask you, but maybe next week, because I know you had to as we were saying, Barbara, up some fires recently at the local offices, but I wouldn't go there now, Wendell. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And same to you, Andrew. It's always nice. You can always reach out to me.
Yes,
I know that in the last couple of weeks that you've been hoping that I could get on.
Yes,
obviously I've had some illness in the family and a death that I've been dealing with. So. Those things, but I'm always happy to talk to you, as you know,
right?
And it's always gracious to hear from you and hear your panel.
All right.
I have a friend of mine who's listening in Florida.
Oh, where?
Michael Shepherd, a good Princess Margaret boy, former opening batsman.
He's a good boy.
Who still has the record for the Shield competition here in Barbados. So So I'm sure that he is listening to you, which he does every single Tuesday, Andrew.
A big shout out
to a St. Philip man like yourself.
Well, I want to thank you, Wendell, for coming and talking to us. And perhaps what we'll do is to continue this discussion, because we've got Chris Darren here. We wouldn't want to keep the honourable gentleman waiting any longer. Have a good evening to you, Wendell Coppin.
And I'll see you on Sunday.
Okay, good. Fine. Okay, wonderful. But Mason and Guest is reporting that the Weymouth Ground has been pulled by the ICC as a practice venue because they were not happy about the field. And that is true as John 3:16. I wouldn't come here unless I had the information. So despite what you heard from Wendell, Weymouth has been pulled by the ICC as a practice venue. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, well, they're not boys and girls here. I note with interest that my good friend Basil Butcher Jr. has got a smile, which is as broad maybe as Weymouth. And by the way, I passed there this morning, and with the recent rains, it's looking green, green, green. I was told that the sand that was supposed to be there never arrived, but that's another matter. Chris Darren, do you know the Weymouth Grounds in Barbados? How are you, my friend?
Yes, I do. We would have used that as a practice venue in 2007.
Indeed. Okay, well, fair enough. Now, how are you feeling? 4 days away from the big event, Chris Darren, you're ready like Freddy?
Oh, we're very excited. I'm up here in Florida. The finishing touch is basically going on. The venue is looking absolutely beautiful. I mean, there's a certain level of envy that I have when I'm up here in the U.S. To see the kind of resources that they have at their disposal for major sporting events, you know. It really makes you... The challenge of hosting in the Caribbean, it cannot be underestimated what is being accomplished by the guys in the Caribbean. There's going to be some hiccups. There's no question about it. But the lack of resources generally in the Caribbean, it's a miracle sometimes when I think back about what we were able to do and what these guys are going to pull off very shortly. So don't be too harsh.
No, okay? No. I want to ask exactly what is your role, Chris Darren? What is your role exactly?
I'm advising Broward County. Broward County is the administrative body of the Cricket World Cup in Florida for the World Cup here. They own the stadium, the Broward County Cricket Stadium, where the matches are being hosted here. So the county, which of course is, you know, the administration is mostly Americans, not exactly familiar with sport, with ICC, the whole global context of it all. They asked me if they could. I guess how I position myself, I'm like an interpreter.
Okay.
You know, in meetings, I'm saying different things. You know, the Americans don't necessarily understand. Now, they have hosted international cricket here before. West Indies has played matches here before. But the challenge is the structure of how it's organized now. The county itself has to get involved in the running of the game, which they never did before. It's not usually it was the West Indies Cricket Board and their contractor or whoever who would put on the game here at Broad County Stadium. But in this case, it's now Broward County hosting the matches. And so they set up a Broward County working group, of which I sit on and basically be the interpreter so that they can understand all the different nuances of the cricket world.
Mm-hmm. I see. Basil Butcher Jr., what part of the United States are you?
Well, I'm back home in New Jersey. I was in Florida for the winter, and then back home, the weather is good up here now, so I'm back home.
All right. Just before we go back to Chris, though, I note with interest from a cricketing perspective that Jason Holder picked up an injury, and he is not going to be in the West Indies side, replaced by Obed McCoy. Are you surprised? Well, I mean, the injury would happen. What about the whole question of Obed McCoy coming in? Was that your selection?
I was somewhat surprised of Obed McCoy being the replacement. I in my mind, I was looking at Kyle Mayers as the replacement, all-round cricketer, similar to Jason Holder,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe they have they have a specific role. They had Holder to be bowling, is from a bowling perspective, and they feel that McCoy can fill that, and then McCoy also brings the variety of being a left-handed bowler, you know. But I just want to make a quick point on what Chris was talking about, resources,
right?
Which is very true, because I was speaking with guys that are in St. Vincent, and you know, Arnest Vale, they have to put up lighting, and the guys were telling me, had it not for being between the Barbados government and St. Vincent government to expedite getting a crane to St. Vincent, really? Where in the United States you can find a crane every corner, every tongue, you can find zillions of cranes, right?
Mm.
If they had not got that crane expeditiously, then we would have had serious problems about putting up the lighting in St. Vincent. Really? So we take it for granted here in the United States, with every car you get on the phone, you could look in the yellow pages and find some contracting company with a crane, but it's not the same like that in the Caribbean.
Mm,
you know, Basil, a very minute example, but absolutely symptomatic or an example of what I'm talking about. In the U.S., parking is actually a right that you sell as an event owner.
Mm.
So they can have a tender, and they have a massive parking service companies who do work for the NFL, NBA, American mm-hmm. Arena, Hard Rock Stadium, and they tender to get that right to be the parking service provider for an event. So they actually sell that right, and they earn money as an event holder for that right. Mm-hmm. And never have to worry about parking for patrons. No, in the Caribbean, you're as an event manager, you have to be thinking about all the parking for the different different patrons, the VIP, because they sell these rights, you know, and so you get VIP parking sale. People will pay, VIPs will pay big money up here to have special parking privileges,
mm-hmm.
you know, with mm-hmm. a golf cart that takes them from the limousine and so on. They're paying for this right. And the organizer never has to worry again after they've signed and collected that check. Mm. You know, in the Caribbean, we have to organize. We have to organize all the logistics. There are no parking companies. Mm-hmm. Big merchandising companies that will just come in and cut you a check and just manage the merchandising and licensing program. That's what happens in the States. It's a massive mm-hmm. sports industry. And so, you know, when I say there's a certain level of jealousy, understand, in the Caribbean, we have to virtually do as the event managers.
Okay, frozen.
It's internet.
Yes, internet.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so what we'll do while Chris gets his internet back, hopefully, let's pause for business cards. We'll come back. Mason and guests brought to the association with the good friends of ASFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best show of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Mmm. Chris, what happened there? You're in a 5-star hotel and you're having a bit of a problem with your internet. Chris, are you hearing us? Where are you staying, by the way, that you're having problems with the internet? That doesn't normally happen to you, Chris.
I didn't realize the battery was running low on me. I was making a point of the resources, and it's just a little aspect. You know, people need to understand the Caribbean, what we're pulling off really
you know, with the lack of resources. And when I say resources, I don't mean money. It's just all of these service providers that they have here in the States and in major markets that we just don't have in the Caribbean. You know, so that's why I always say to people, look, you can critique and criticize, and but listen, when you're hosting an event of this magnitude, it has to be all hands on deck, because it is a massive challenge and the stakes are very high. You know, this thing is going to be broadcast over, you know, 2 billion people around the world. The last World Cup was over 1 trillion video views. Just let that sink in, 1 trillion views. And so the impression of the Caribbean, the impression of the United States and their ability to host cricket, you know, it will last forever, you know. So we need to be very careful, and we need to make sure we give the guys all the support that they can.
When I come back, I really want to ask you, what are your expectations in relation to the World Cup? But let's go to Philo. Philo, Jason Holder's injury, is that a massive blow in your view?
It's also a surprise to me, Andrew, because Jason was in the UK playing for Worcester.
Yes.
His final game, he scored 100 at Kent, against Kent, down at Kent. He bowled as well, but there was no report of an injury. What surprised me is that when the series against South Africa started, Jason did not start. That was my surprise. Because if Jason Holder is in a T20 squad, you would expect him to start a series. And then you heard he has a shoulder. He came back from county cricket with a shoulder injury. They didn't say left or right shoulder. What type of injury, if he's going to require surgery, how long it's going to be out. We have after this World Cup, we have a test series against England, a very important test series. And I believe that he should be part of that squad. But we don't know the extent of the injury. So it was a surprise to me to hear that he was injured. And it's a big loss. He's a big loss to our T20 squad. I know a lot of people believe he's gone down on its quality. But I think that the stink in that county, stink in England, would have helped Jason. And is it just sad that he got that injury? We're all human beings, and injuries do come when you're playing the sport. I hope that he recovers in time. His replacement, Andrew, I'm not in favor of Obi McCoy replacing Jason Holder, but the selectors have gone with Obi McCoy. If you look at the way how Kyle Mears played in those 3D20 games, he looked like a new Kyle Mears. He batted the way that we are accustomed to seeing Kyle Mears batting, hitting the bad balls away, running the singles, and he looked busy and he looked interested in cricket. And you could see that he wanted to play and wanted to do well. But they've gone for a one-dimensional player, Obi McCoy, with his left-arm bowler, and Kyle Mears is a reserve who's a three-dimensional. He can bat both field, and he's a good catcher as well. And I thought that he you know, he's a little unfortunate not to catch the second boat, because he should have been in the original 15. But we have to support the squad Obi McCoy is in, and I will hope that Obi McCoy will do justice to selection when he gets the opportunity to play. I still don't think he's 100% fit, but we will never know, because we don't hear a lot of stuff about fitness. I mean, you look at some of our players, Andrew, they're still not fit. I even saw a video today of one of our players from Rajasthan Royals, and he's talking about sixes. He didn't even talk about batting. You know, he talked about sixes, sixes, sixes. So if we believe that we're just going to go into the T20 World Cup and hit sixes, we can easily get stick up, because everybody's saying the grounds will be small. But small grounds don't bring big runs. They cause a common sense batting and approach. But we're looking to hit a lot of sixes, and I do hope that they are successful. Because this World Cup, Andrew, if you look at some of the warm-up games already, some of the teams are playing some serious cricket. I mind you, it's warm-up cricket matches, but they're still looking to hit their straps. It's going to be interesting to see how we match up against a depleted Australia late in the week, and then how we start in Ghana. But I'm surprised at Jason's injury. I hope that he can recover soon. I just want to wish the entire squad all the very best. I hope that they can really get to Barbados in the Super 8s and then go on to lift the trophy for the third time.
Chris, how important it is for the West Indies to do well in this tournament?
Listen, the energy will disappear in a tournament if the West Indies doesn't do well. That's the nature of it. We've seen it before. We see that where other World Cups, football World Cups, if the home team isn't doing well, the energy of the event dissipates. Mm-hmm. You'll have your visitors cheering on the teams and so on, but you really need the home Caribbean vibe, and that Caribbean vibe is not going to be there if the West Indies isn't doing well. I will tell you that the biggest hurt that you can possibly feel as an event organizer is on that at that final handing over that trophy to a visiting team. It is a feeling that is indescribable. You're working so hard to put on the event, but at the same time you want your team to do well. Mm-hmm. And when you hand over that trophy, you never can envisage handing over the trophy to Australia or England as would have happened the last time in Barbados. It is a traumatic feeling that never leaves you as an event organizer. So it is absolutely important West Indies does well. Get all the way through. I'd love us to win it, obviously. And there's no reason why we can't. The reality is that T20 gives everybody that shot. Mm-hmm. And of course, if we have the home crowd, home team, we should be able to really do well in this tournament. I think we have a very good chance.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Yes, certainly. We talked about Jason not being fit, which is unfortunate. We've gone through the illogic of replacing an all-rounder with a bowler. And, you know, he's probably the only person in the squad who isn't known to be able to do something with the bat in the crunch. And we've already established that T20 cricket is about, you know, trying to push hard and score quickly. And you need resilience, especially if you lose wickets. And so we need all the batting we can get. The way the squad is going to be set up, really, is the real question is, do you have just two spinners or do you have three? And then with the other setup, do you only have two fast bowlers in maybe Shepherd and Joseph with the Joseph switching? So a lot to be decided there. But as Chris said, everybody has a chance. And I think runs are going to be important. I think the series we saw against the depleted South African West Indian team showed how important it's going to be to have bowling that's of varying speeds and not necessarily being the fastest bowler, because we saw what happened to Nokia in the series. So being really fast is not really going to pay a premium unless you're really getting a lot of wickets in this tournament, at least in the West Indies. So it's going to be change of pace and using the wind and just powering through the power plays and trying to get big scores and trying to be economical. So there's a lot to look forward to, but I don't really see McCoy as being a golden arm that really justified being the replacement for Holder. I think that mm-hmm. the selectors have deviated from you know, having individuals with certain jobs. And I think that the replacement doesn't do the job Jason would have done.
Mm-hmm. Basil?
Well, I was wondering, because like yourself, when I saw the release and there was no disclosure what the injury was and there was querying, and I remember seeing Philo in the chat say something, you understand, is your shoulder. So I went back and I looked at the game where he played for Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Kent followed on. In the first inning, he bowled 20 overs. And when they followed on, he bowled four. And I noticed after he bowled his third over, I noticed him doing something like this, you know, on the right shoulder. And he bowled his fourth over, which was the last over before lunch. And I noticed him again as he was walking off. He was massaging this area. When they came out after lunch, he didn't bowl again in the game.
Mm.
So that, whatever his situation, but I find it interesting. What I find interesting is that I think within 2 days, he was back in the Caribbean in Antigua in the camp. And why was he named to this squad against South Africa if he had some problem with his shoulder that he couldn't even start the first game? Why was he in the squad in the first place? I just found that puzzling.
Mm, very puzzling indeed. And he's being monitored. They said, is he a contractual
player? No, the question you have to ask is this. Jason is not a CWI contracted player, right? He was injured playing for Worcestershire. Who is in charge of Jason's monitoring if it's his shoulder or whatever, to make sure that he will be fit and ready for selection to England? That's something I would like to find.
But didn't the chairman talk about monitoring, didn't he?
Yes, he said that the medical team, the West Indies, will be doing it. But Jason is not a contracted player by the West Indies. So how would they be doing the monitoring?
Doc, can you tell me?
Well, I don't know. I guess this may, if he's not contracted, come down to the franchise, or it may come down to... Well, of course, I'm sure Cricket West Indies will take care of a player of the caliber of Jason Holder. But I think Basil has pointed to something that's important. As a medical guy, I'm always fascinated by the things that's done by the medical group. And again, a guy who is not fit a few days after being in a practice squad and being there for a while, it means that he wasn't assessed. Either he was assessed and the severity of his injury was underestimated, or he wasn't assessed. Or I don't want to go to the third possibility, because that would be suggesting something I don't want to suggest. But it's really not good enough. And many times, in lots of different squads, we have this happening and people coming home from tours and people going to tours, and that happens a lot. So I think the monitoring and the assessment of fitness is something we've talked about for quite a few years as it relates to West Indian teams. And I think we have to tighten up on that. The assessment of fitness and deciding if someone can carry out their job. I think what has happened requires some explanation. And I think after to review some of the setup of determining if someone can play or not.
Doctor, I had an experience on Sunday. I went to watch Hampshire on the 18th versus Sussex on the 18th. And a young man rolled his ankle. The physio had a look at him and sent him straight for MRI scan. Came back 3 weeks out. Cannot play cricket for 3 weeks. So if Jason Holder entered the training camp in Antigua with an injury, the question to ask CWI was: a fitness assessment done? Did he bowl in the camp, or he was just batting in the camp? Did he do any fielding drills? Because he's a right-hander, and if it's his right shoulder, you have to throw the ball. He's not going to throw the ball with his left hand. And in a camp, you can do fielding, you can do catching. So I was surprised that you carry a man from Antigua injured up to Jamaica. And then you said he's out of the World Cup squad. If you know that he can make it, don't take him. Send him back to Barbados and allow the medical panel in Barbados, whoever they are, to deal with him. Because we will need him for England. But you send him up, you took him up to Jamaica. It's a flight and the cost of a ticket and a room. But you could just send him straight back to Barbados and get him get Scottish treatment. So the Cricket West Indies, it's just observations. We talk about being professional. And we want to do things differently, but things are still happening the same thing. We're changing changing people, but the systems are the same, and it's hurtful, and it's just a release right shoulder injury. It doesn't matter to some people. It matters because Jason is one of our leading all-rounders. He's missing a World Cup that he will be an important cog in the wheel, but yet there's a test series. Is he going to be ready for that test series? And the same thing happened with Shamar Joseph. He came back from Australia with a toe injury. Nobody gave a report. Then we saw him in some clips bowling on an outfield in Ghana. And then we heard he's up in India, and he got one game. So these things are not right if you want people to support West Indies cricket. Maybe you want people to come and pay money to watch West Indies players, and you don't know what's happening with them. So I think that they need to streamline and get this thing right. And the medical panel, if they don't want to speak, get somebody to speak on their behalf, because it is all about a medical panel. Every time it's a medical panel. When it comes to the fitness, medical panel, but you don't hear nobody from the medical panel. I don't know if there's solar panels ready for heat. Because they need to do better than that. No, they need to. There's a World Cup, Andrew. And people are interested in investing beach cricket. You just beat South Africa conventionally. And people are interested. There's this hope. Because if we all won those three T20 games, one can say, well, hey, things are looking pretty decent. Without Jason, we still won that T20 series conventionally. I'm a Russell, and those guys coming back, at least we got some momentum. But we still need to know what's happening, man. The lost secret things. I'm really tired of secrecy from Cricket West Indies. Really am. And it's about time they need to shake up. You know, stop from following the lead.
I think, too, Andrew, regarding Jason in the squad, one of the areas that folks haven't been speaking about, he is probably one of the best boundary outfielders in the world, especially in the late innings when his boundary fielding comes into play greatly. Now, who is going to pick up the slack for not having Jason in that role on the boundary? You know, because we have seen over the years a lot of catches that he has taken that other guys would not have been able because for the obvious of his stature. And so that is something we need to keep a close eye on in regards to, you know, that whole that would be there with him not being on the team.
Very good point. Okay, let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we'll open the lines 441-790 and give us a call. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, let's go straight to the telephones. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night
to the panel and all. I am extremely disappointed with the handling of Kyle Mears.
Okay.
Here is a man who's made a double century in tests. We bring him into the T20 squad and we tell him, you're a pinch hitter to open. And the last series was the first time that I really saw them using Kyle Mears in a way that he should be used. And we are talking about a man who also has a 5-wicket test haul as a bowler. I am not understanding why he can't make the 15-man squad in the first instance, and why he, after even showing glimpses of what he's capable of, he can't even make the team as replacement for Jason Holder. Something is wrong. Kyle Mears is being badly mismanaged, and he was also mismanaged by his IPL team. What is the reason? What is the reason why they're treating him like that? A potential match-winning player.
Good point you're making, caller. I think you're solid. I did have Jason. Kyle Mears in my original 15-man squad. Thanks for your contribution. Let's take another call. Can we? 441-790. Hello, welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you.
I don't understand where is the big fuss about Jason Holder. This is unbelievable.
Okay, explain.
People are speaking because they're Barbadians. Jason Holder is not a great player. Jason Holder should be glad that anybody want him to play. I don't understand. What's the big fuss about Jason Holder? You all are, well, not you, but you all are saying this as a Barbadian and want him on the team. What's his stats? What he do? I want to know what Jason Holder does. He does nothing.
That's not true.
Not a great player, and he would never be a great player. And I'm not criticizing him. I'm only saying the truth. I prefer this fella that is coming in before Jason Holder.
Obid McCoy?
Kyle Mears or something like that.
No. Obid McCoy.
There's somebody that come in for Jason Holder.
Yeah, Obid McCoy.
Right. I prefer him than Jason Holder.
Have you ever heard the name before?
Yes. I don't understand why they make fuss, and I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just being fair. I want the callers to tell me what Jason Holder does for any team, even in the IPL. He does nothing.
Well, caller, I think it's about time that I bring someone like Philip Spoon in. I'm sure, Philip, you will want to not dismiss the comments, but of course you would want to respond to this caller. Jason Holder has been an important cog in the wheel, Philip.
You're talking to me?
No, Philip Spooner. Philip, you heard the caller?
Yeah, and I would like to dismiss the comment because they're wrong.
Continue.
Tell me what he does.
Philip?
What he does.
Well, he made a double century.
Man, give me a break with this double century every sense. Everything would always bring in past performances with no. Every minute with this double century. Man, you got to be kidding. Double century what? That was a fluke. It was a fluke.
Did he make the double century? I think he made a double century and the West Indies won the test match.
So what I'm going to do with now?
Jason has made...
He has played on the day. What am I going to do with now?
Caller, just hold on. Hold on, caller. Let Philip speak. Philip, continue.
He made 2,797 test runs with three centuries, all of them coming at number 8 or below. And he's taken 157 wickets at 29 apiece with a best of 6 for 42. The only other West Indian cricketer who has 2,000 test runs and taken over, who made over 2,500 test runs and taken over 150 wickets is Sir Gareth Unsworth.
Caller?
I can help you
in ODI, he's made 2,200 runs and taken 159 wickets. And there are not very many people in the history of world cricket who have made over 2,000 runs and taken 150 wickets.
I can help you a little bit, Philip. The caller, the truth of the matter is that there are really no active great West Indian players. So to say Jace isn't great is just an affirmation of where we are in cricket. But we're looking at roles for a team that represents us. And Jason is the highest ranked all-rounder in T20 cricket in the region. It's only Romario Shepherd after Jason. And he's Jason is 14 and Romario Shepherd is a few spots behind.
That only shows you, Doc,
why are we even having this conversation, Doc? This is a waste of conversation
because try to
convince somebody that a man with a record of Jason's caliber in cricket, that he's not an efficient, reliable, mature ambassador for West Indies cricket. It's a bit of everybody's time. So Jason doesn't only bring something on, he brings a hell of a lot off the field. And he's a package. He presents the West Indies well. And let's move on to the next caller.
That'd
be my opinion, Andrew. I don't know.
Fair enough. 441790. Can we take a call? I think we can. Hello, Ken Husbands is the chair.
Good evening.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hello?
Okay.
He didn't even know the body. My name is Rebecca. Hold on.
How on earth
is it?
No, really, we'll just watch your conduct in the radio, sir.
Man, he can't come there and lorette a mama.
Okay. I think we had to dismiss that caller. Chris, how important is Jason Holder to the West Indies cricket? You watch him over the years, Chris.
Jason is extremely important in the context of West Indies cricket. Forget the world cricket and past West Indies cricket. In today's context, obviously Jason Holder is one of the best cricketers that we have. I don't necessarily share your view about who should replace him because I do like Obid McCoy. And I do believe bowling at the death is going to be really important in this tournament. I think it's going to be a batsman's tournament, and therefore that bowling at the death, that last two overs are going to be absolutely critical. And if Obid McCoy gets his slow ball and so on right, it's one of the best slow balls in world cricket when it's on time. But I do take the point about Kyle Mayers that it is difficult for me to understand how he's not in the squad, mm-hmm. not necessarily as a replacement for Holden. But it's difficult to think better all-round cricketers that can contribute with both bat and ball and fielding, mm-hmm. like Kyle Mass, you know? Mm-hmm. So I agree with both points, but they're not necessarily as a substitute for each other, because I do believe Obid Mokhtar is a talent.
He is a talent.
I agree with everybody. As strange as that might seem, I would love to see a team with both McCoy and Mears. You see, McCoy, as Chris rightfully said, he has those change-ups that are real, that could be potentially magical. I remember they used to walk around for a long time with Cottrell. Right. Cottrell, the left-arm element, was really important. Cottrell would always guarantee you an early wicket. And at death, he struggled. But McCoy, I think, is the opposite. McCoy doesn't look like he will get... Well, he doesn't bowl at the top. But he always seems like he could make something happen at the back end. He struggled with injuries a lot. And there was obviously he had a couple of challenges away from the game. But I love the way he's pulled himself back. And he's really gotten into it. And you can see his body language is so positive. He looks like he wants this a bit more than other people. And I think they pick McCoy on the basis of what they've seen in the recent time, as opposed to a longer period of assessment. But and Mears, we know, as a three-dimensional cricketer who is just so much energy, so much vitality, and brings so much to the game. So if they could get both of them, it would be wonderful. But I guess you can only pick 15, and Kyle is 15th, his 16th man in the line. But you know, but I wish them really well. And as Chris said before, you need a home team to carry the tournament in many ways, and take it near the way down to the finish. And that's one of the beautiful things that we've had in T20 World Cups. Across the board, somehow the home team always seems to go far down in the tournament and continue to lift the tournament and keeps the fans involved and engaged. And I hope that the West Indies team can at least reach the semifinals, which I think they're a very good bet to get, and really let the Caribbean people know how magnificent an event this could be. So I'm back in the West Indies 100% this time.
And you should. There are a lot of calls backed up, so we're going to take some of them. Ken in yellow, hello, welcome.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing, Ant?
Good evening to you.
Well, my point is just very small. Sure. Short.
Yes.
First thing, I believe people are arguing for different people in the team and whatnot and that kind of thing. I can understand that people want Jason in the team. Jason is injured. They want Kyle Mears in the team. Kyle Mears is injured. But I don't believe that we have 30 or 40 people that we can pick from in the West Indies to play to make up a team. We don't have that much depth at this point in time that we can say, put this body. We have to accept or take who we have available and can play the game.
Right.
I don't believe in saying Kyle Mears scored 200 back then or whatever. I mean, T20 line is different to Test cricket line. You might bowl a particular lane in Test cricket and find you get slaughtered in T20 game. Shamar Joseph, people are arguing for him. But to me, he played good Test cricket, but not proven himself in T20 as yet. I would not put him in the team. But my thing, we don't have that amount of players that we have such a big choice. I'm not going to use Test cricket stats to put a player in a T20 side. And Andrew, I believe, finally, you need to call Sunil Narine and get him in the team. That's our guy. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take a couple more calls. Hello, welcome, Mason and Gez.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Just want to make one little point, because we had a caller, a couple callers back, about two, three callers back, that, like, he was, to me, like, real aggressive. Listen, you got people out there representing a nation, big man, or nations, right? And I think there's something called constructive criticism, and then there's something called insulting. He was insulting. Because if you got a man out there that doing his best, and trying his best, and representing us, it's like you should be more encouraging. If you do something wrong, you come and you say, look, that he could have do this or he could have do that. But not just come straight up and say that he ain't a use, when you know that you yourself can't do no better than what he doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh? You can't even touch what he doing. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it was the most unfortunate contribution, really. Me and Jason is very important to us.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give people a chance. If you keep stepping for everybody that's trying, there ain't going to be nobody else left to try. And you yourself ain't even trying, so what sense it make that you come in and saying the things that you say?
Mm-hmm. Fair comment. All right, thanks for your contribution, 4341790. Now you can give us a call and participate. And just let me come back to you, Chris. What's the feel like up in Florida? Are people talking about it and getting ready?
It's a little weird if I was to
weird
to categorize how feeling is. It's a little strange because it's, you know, cricket is not a major sport here, even though the Broward County Stadium is in the middle of a major Caribbean community.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality, because West Indies is not playing here, I don't sense the excitement amongst the Caribbean community. Well, that and also the ticket prices up here are super high for what the Caribbean community would be used to. But of course, so the matches are... they're probably going to be well attended. The ticket sales have been going quite well. But I guess the community hasn't yet gravitated towards it. One of the things that we're going to be putting on to try and make sure the community feel the impact of the World Cup is to actually have a watch party, an official watch party or fan park.
Interesting.
So we're going to have the West Indies New Zealand game, which is in Trinidad, but we're going to have it on the big screen. We're going to set it up near right beside the stadium, fully branded out, merchandising, shows, concerts, and so on. This will be their World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get tickets to see the matches themselves, and of course, because it's West Indies playing, that the local community here will hopefully come out in their numbers and cheer on from afar. But so it's a little strange because, of course, this is America. This is, still the land of NFL, NBA, and so on. And the cricket community, the cricket-loving community, a lot of the Indians, et cetera, are not necessarily around the Broad County. There's some up in Palm Beach, some in Miami, and so on. But so you're not really feeling it as much. A lot of promotion is taking place in some places that you wouldn't expect to see it, on Fort Lauderdale Beach and down in Miami City Center. You're seeing the giant cricket ball and so on. But most people are just curious, like, what is that? At the end of the day, it's going to be an interesting exercise up in New York. It's just an incredible facility. I don't know if you've seen the videos and and pictures from New York.
Mm-hmm.
What Don Lockerbie has built up there. You remember Don was my venue development.
Yes, he was
officer for them. Well, he's in charge of building these stadiums for the ICC now, and they've built just an incredible temporary stadium, 34,000 seater. They had an open lot.
Right.
And just decided to build a stadium. They cleaned out the grass. They rolled out turf. They had these drop-in pitches, which they've dropped in. Built a 34,000-seater that looks better than... I don't mean to say it, but it looks better than any stadium we have in the Caribbean. And this is a temporary stadium, eh? And again, it just goes to show the resources that America has. Skyboxes and... oh, just lavish. And they're going to be hosting the India-Pakistan game. And I know there's a lot of excitement up there. Those tickets are, going like hot bread,
Very expensive.
Cheese on bread.
Is it cheese on bread in Barbados?
I was able to get, because of my relationships and so on, a 50% discount. I was offered a 50% discount on a diamond package. Tickets. That's a nice VIP, but not top tier. And my 50% was $10,000 to watch it.
Say that again, please.
My fifth, I was offered a 50% discount on a what I think is called the Diamond Club level, which is second or third tier. And I could get that 50% discount. And my price was 10,000 US for the India Pakistan game.
Oh, Philip?
That's Super Bowl. Philip? That's Super Bowl. Hi, Andrew.
The prices are not that high in the Caribbean. Are they?
Andrew, let me just.
I'm not aware of that. I'll let Basil finish.
Yeah, Basil.
If I could have gotten my hands on two tickets, I wasn't going to the game. Because in the United States, we are allowed to resell legally. It's not against the law.
Oh.
My tickets would have been going on StubHub. Yes, it would have been going on StubHub. I would have been calling because if you go on StubHub now, the last prices I saw for a ticket that was 300 US was for close to 2,500 for the same ticket.
Really?
It's legal now in most places. And in fact,
yes.
Basil, in fact, the ICC, the last Cricket World Cup in India, which just took place, you could actually see the prices again on the secondary market, which was legal.
Yes. The
ticket price for $1,000 ticket for the India Pakistan, it went up as high as 300,000 US.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
300,000 US.
That's why I said, Andrew, if I put my hands in two decent tickets,
yes.
I wasn't going to the game. The prop that I would have made, I can look at it on TV.
Philip, you want to respond to all of this?
What I don't think, we don't appreciate in the Caribbean the incredible wealth in the cricket-loving community. That's Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, all. Many of them who have come to the United States and become billionaires, eh? Mm. Billionaires you've never heard of, frankly. And, you know, I was talking with a Barbadian friend of mine who I was joking, kind of, but I was, you know, still thinking about it. One of the challenges Barbados is going to have, you know, if India makes it to the final, let's say it's an India-West Indies final, which would be a dream, you know, to have the host as well as the India from a commercial perspective. I don't know if Barbados has enough space to park the private jets.
Say this again.
Yeah, Andrew. I mean,
I don't think if India makes the final in Barbados.
Yes.
I don't know if Barbados has the space for the private jet. I believe they'll probably have to drop off the park in Trinidad, share the park in Trinidad. Just think about the landing fees alone Barbados will be making if India comes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's reality. I was working at the India Pakistan game in 2022, and the MCG 98,000 inside and 25,000 outside trying to get in. So this is reality.
And I was there in Joburg.
Yes.
In 2003, and the jumbo jets privately. Chartered jumbo jets and that landed in Joburg, descended on the stadium. None of them had a ticket, and we're offering insane amounts for your ticket.
Oh. A colleague of mine was in the hotel. The hotel was half a mile away, and he was able to tell me, "Well, I know India won because the noise that you heard in the hotel half a mile away told you that Virat had just hit the boundary and that it was India." And obviously, Pakistan had won, you would have heard. But Andrew, cricket is up there with all the other sports in the world. Don't let anybody fool you. Cricket is a top tier global sporting event, and you will notice with interest how the broadcast ratings will rank alongside the Copa America, which is in July, and the Olympics, which are in like July, August, and then Euro football, which is also in July. So cricket is in the business of mainstream now. We are no longer a second tier or third tier sport. If you can have an audience of 2 billion eyeballs and these sort of figures for tickets, you're selling out a 35,000 seat stadium in half an hour. you're bringing some of the, you know, the elite, sporting elite. You have Usain Bolt as an ambassador. Usain Bolt wants to be an ambassador in cricket.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you everything you want to know where cricket is and where it's heading. And it's an absolute amazing opportunity for the people in the West Indies, as Chris said. I am thrilled to be part of this organizing committee. I've been to every world event in cricket since 2003 in South Africa. But for me to see the event come to the Caribbean and to be part of the hosting of the event is, for me, it's magic. It is the opportunity for the people to see what we've been trying to tell them all along and for them to come and witness it firsthand. So anybody that gets an opportunity to get a ticket for any game in the tournament,
mm-hmm.
I think they should grab it and snap it up and go on, because you'll get to see in live and living color what they would have told you about and what you would have seen on TV. But this is your opportunity to see Virat, to see Kian Williamson, to see Josh Butler, to see Kuran. These are the best cricketers on the planet.
Mm. Yeah, wonderful. Okay.
Clearly, Chris, is not just cricket then.
Mm.
Clearly, it's just not cricket. It is more than cricket.
Mm-hmm.
No, for us, West Indies, it's always been more than cricket, Philo. You played for West Indies cricket, Philo. You know that when you put on that shirt and put on them gloves and sit next to Brian Lara in the dressing room, you knew it was more than cricket. So the people in the Caribbean will get the opportunity to see now firsthand that it is more than just bat and ball. It goes.
Yeah, but they don't. But Philip, the people in the Caribbean don't believe it's more than cricket.
No, but that's one of the great challenges, Philo. I sat and watched for 2 days, and I had to bring it up and watch the Prime Minister's symposium on cricket.
Mm.
And when they had this section called Business of Cricket, I leaned forward. You know, this is an industry I've been a part of. I started Sportsmart. I've negotiated broadcast rights. And so I was really excited to hear, okay, what are the latest new trends in video distribution and what are the new business models? Because the whole business models are changing with the internet. And so, and when I looked on the panel that they invited, there was nobody involved in the business of cricket.
Mm.
And I was like, man, we are so third world. We still just think of it as a little cricket match, eh? And this is West Indies. West Indies is a company operating in this global industry. You have to examine what caused that company to become uncompetitive. It's not just us alone. We don't operate in a vacuum. Something was happening in the world. Okay, let's examine the industry, the world industry, and see the trends and why we fell behind and what we, and then put in place plans how to get that product back into the world market, up to world standard again, to dominate the world again. But there's no thinking like that. We're still thinking, oh, you know, it's cricket. We're going to organize some matches. We're going to knock the ball around. I'll tell you this. I passed by my high school the other day because they won the under 15 championship in Jamaica. They are practicing a practice session for my team in my high school team is the same practice session I had 50 years ago.
Amazing.
A little net, little knock up, some balls, some guys bowling, and of course, if you're about second or third, you'll face some tired bowlers and so on. Which professional sport you develop professional athletes that way anymore?
Mm.
It doesn't happen. I used to play, I practice in the same practice sessions as Jeffrey Dudon, Maurice Foster, test players, you know. Basil Williams, Kerberg, we used to play the same practice sessions, developing our skill. That doesn't happen anymore.
Mm.
Pros are honed from 5 and 6 years old and built. And, you know, it is just a whole different world of professional cricket. No, we have this innate, incredible, natural talent. There's no question about that. And that's probably what's keeping us in and around the realm of the sport. But when you look at the virtual reality batting cages that people are using now, and you know, you can simulate a whole innings. You can face Mitchell Starc in a simulated batting cage now. Mm. Right? For weeks and weeks and weeks before you actually have to face him.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Interesting. 7:24, what are we going to do? In fact, quite appropriately, the president of Cricket West Indies has joined us, Dr. Chris O'Shallow, and I'm sure he would have made a couple of notes of the couple of things you just said, but we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to get a reaction from him. Mason and guests, Broadgen Association with our good friends at ASAP Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Headed into 7:25 in the country. I'm Andrew Mason, and this is Mason and Guest. The president of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Chris O'Shallow, has joined us. First of all, let me offer my sympathies, Dr. O'Shallow. You lost your father recently, and we here at Mason and Guest, we sympathize with you. May he rest in peace, and as they say, keep the faith.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that. Greetings, everyone. Chris, nice to have you in there today. I stand with you on you know, I mean, it's great to be playing Champions League another year.
I will accept that. Something about you I like in a duck.
I always thought that
Don't worry. Soon again.
I always thought that you were a Manchester United man, Dr. Shallow.
Never. Arsenal
all the way, yes. All right. Doc, are you ready? Like Freddy. Are you ready?
Well, I think I'm certain. I'm stand very confident at this stage where we you know, the matches are supposed to bowl out in the Caribbean from Sunday, the 2nd of June. From my all reports to me and from my own personal observation, I think we have done tremendous work in terms of the transformation of the facilities. I'm currently in St. Vincent, so even Annisville that hasn't had international cricket for some time, who I believe probably had it most difficult to get up to the international standard. I mean, they haven't hosted a game there since 2015. So they had to do a lot of work with the technology and just getting the facilities, lights installed, electronic scoreboard and all of that. Across the region, I've had the opportunity to visit Kensington Oval as well. Fantastic. Some of it the general public will see, but you know, if you go even in the players' dressing room, right, it's really some magnificent work done there. In St. Lucia, same thing. Players' pavilion looking as though you're walking into a hotel lobby. So that is, from that perspective, I mean, really great work and commendations to the government for making the investment, certainly very worthwhile. Everything else seemed to be ticking. I suspect that a few fine-tuning here and there, but generally, I would say by and large, certainly everything looks set to bowl off, and I have absolutely no doubt at this stage that it's going to be one hell of a tournament. I certainly believe the best World Cup ever.
Do you have any concerns at this moment, Dr. Shallow? Any concerns at all?
No, absolutely none. None at this point. I would say that even if you look at the ticket sales and the interest in tickets, that too has been really encouraging. You know, and I'm speaking mainly about the Caribbean side, the six host countries here. US, they seem to be well on course as well. And the first match day is on the 4th of June, and they seem to be ready to deliver a tournament. Most of the teams, if not all, I think, are already in the Caribbean. A few teams and players still due to arrive later this week. But by and large, Andrew, I think we're well set and on course for a successful tournament.
So basically all of the West Indian players are here now? All of them are here?
I think maybe Andrew Russell. Rutherford. I think they're probably arriving tomorrow.
Okay.
Remember, they were in the finals at IPL.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the other players have been in the Caribbean for some time, even Shiv Hope and Nicholas Puran, who were rested. Ravman Powell and Hetmeyer, they got knocked out prior to the finals. So they should be in Trinidad by now.
I see. All right, and a big miss, Jason Holder. Can you tell us the nature of the injury, though, because the press release didn't say that. Do you know, did they tell you what's exactly wrong with Jason, Dr. Shallow?
I don't get involved in the details with players' injury.
Mm.
But it's unfortunate for Jason. Obviously, he would have been looking forward to it. And I spoke to him briefly after the first match at Sabina Park. I was in Jamaica for the first match, and you could tell that he was quite disappointed, you know, to be missing out like any other player, you know, would have in these circumstances. But the great thing about, if you recall, 2012 and 2016, when we won those World Cups, we had similar situations where we had changes as well to the squad. And mm-hmm. what I think really took us over the line in both cases were our bench strength, our reserve.
Right.
And, you know, it's encouraging as well to see, you know, someone like Obed Mako, who is probably in the form of his life, mm-hmm. getting to come in as a replacement player. And we have other players, as we have just seen, Kyle Mayers and Jeff Fletcher, and these guys who have been performing in recent times, certainly in the last series here against South Africa, that they're ready to come in the event that, you know, another player to get injured. So it's a good place to be. It lends to really the preparations over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And we have heard Darren Sammy, he has spoken about it, that this preparation isn't just about one series ago, but it is, you know, since he has taken over the role of head coach, he has been preparing for this moment. And with regards to, when we look at our squad, our entire squad, including the reserve, I think most West Indian supporters, the supporters of West Indies team, currently would be quite happy with what they're seeing.
Well, just before we go to Doc, but have they told you how likely Jason Holder may be out? I mean, anything has come across your desk? Possibly 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I mean, we got an England tour. Has anyone told you anything, Doc? How long he may be out?
Currently, he's not in the initial squad. There's nothing stopping him from, if he recovers before the end of the World Cup and another player's injured.
Okay.
Stopping him from coming in the squad. Because remember, the final squad wasn't due to be submitted until the 25th, I think. There.
Right, 25th, yeah.
So the squad that went in would have had, right. So it would have had Obed Mako as the initial player, whereas Jason Holder would still be eligible to come in later on if by chance he is fit and ready to play. And we were hoping that sooner than later, a matter of weeks, he'll be back, you know, to his full fitness. But we just have to wait and see.
Doc, any questions for the president or anyone else on the panel?
Okay. Good night, Dr. Shallow. We are aware of the financial inequality as it relates to cricket. And, you know, we've had our governments putting a lot of investment into grounds and other things. Is there any way that Cricket West Indies has been able to lean on the goodwill of all the, you know, the boards that would be involved in the World Cup in order to assist us after the World Cup to develop our cricket? Are there any benefits that are unknown or unseen other than having the big event here?
I think we were well capable of being independent. I don't think we need any handouts or anything like that from international our counterparts. We obviously enjoy a good relationship with them, and where possible, you know, we have been, I think, benefiting from tours of, you know, India and England and so on quite frequently, and those things help. But I mean, Chris has been around for some time now, and he has been involved in cricket administration, so he, whenever he speaks, it's like gospel. What we need to do, things like ensuring that we get up to international standard with our commercial activities, in terms of even infrastructure. I mean, what we are doing now is and don't get it wrong, and don't think that we are surpassing our competitors in terms of standard. What we are doing now in some of these investments for this World Cup is coming up to par with them. I can guarantee you, we're not surpassing India, Australia, England, when it comes to facilities, even with the millions being spent now. But what we have to do more is identify those opportunities from a commercial perspective where we could be more self-sustainable, right? Where we could be more independent. And I do believe that, you know, with the West Indies brand, right? We can actually accomplish way more. I don't think we are tapping into probably 25% of our potential, right? And that is why one of the positives coming out of the symposium is the discussion on the commercial arm. It is something that we have actually approved at the Cricket West Indies board since last September, where we realized that we need to separate our cricket development activities from our commercial activities. It is a business. And until we appreciate that it is a business and it must be conducted as a business, then, you know, we're really not going anywhere swiftly, right? And that is the harsh reality that we are in now, because we're talking about retaining players. In order to retain players, you can say what you want. You could develop players until 18, 19. But there are so many options out there that unless we could be an attractive team in terms of remuneration, they're going to go and play. They're going to explore, because as a cricketer, your career is quite short. And it doesn't mean that they're not patriotic. It doesn't mean that they don't want to represent West Indies. But if you put most human day in that position, they are going to opt for the one that offers more security or financial freedom for their family. And that is just a reality. So we have to definitely find ways of improving the way our commercial arm and activities operate, right? While we obviously cater to our cricketing needs as well, because an improved team or teams on the field or improved performance certainly going to make us more attractive as well. So that's not saying that we are going to be solely focused on commercial, right? But we have to do everything much better. And there are plenty room for improvement across the entire landscape in the region when it comes to West Indies cricket.
Question for you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Old world structure of cricket in terms of how revenues are distributed, that whole business model. Are you lobbying at ICC? And I think that is the one area that I think we failed at. I know I've made presentations at ICC trying to get them to relook at this whole thing. Because at the end of the day, you can't have, in my view, this massive gap in income earning capability of these massive countries. India is probably the extreme of the example, but it's still a $2.5 billion per annum gap in terms of revenue that one country and one board is able to generate for cricket, just on purely on commercial terms. And one country like the West Indies, or a set of countries comprising the West Indies, that earn for that line item zero. No matter how you change your commercial outlook, you're not going to close that gap. So somehow, at ICC level, countries have got to come together and understand you have to modify this commercial model, this revenue model, so that when West Indies tours, or whoever tours West Indies, there is some equity. There's some basis for revenue sharing. Us going to India cannot be the same value as India coming to West Indies. Is there anything being done on that level? And what hope do you have of ICC ever reviewing that financial model?
It is a model that I met there. In fact, when I just got on the board, it was one of the first things that were being discussed. My observation and conclusion at this point is that there's certainly an appetite from some directors to continue to explore a different model. But currently, that is what we are working with. I do not believe that it is something that would never change. Certainly, once we get more directors, and I think certainly when these kind of tournaments offer, you know, an opportunity for some of the full members to actually realize that if you want the game to grow, if you really have an interest in cricket growing, right, then you have to spread the resources across the full members and the associate members. We have seen how Netherlands, their performance at the last 50 overs World Cup, right? We are seeing other associate members, right? They are playing really good cricket. And the very truth is the Netherlands performance at the last World Cup was probably what really made that World Cup so interesting, right? And if we could encourage that by spreading the resources then I'm sure that we'll get more ICC directors buying into it, that we need to spread the resources. So the discussion certainly is something that we have to keep on the table. That topic needs to be kept on the table. And hopefully, you know, in not the too distant future, we could probably see some adjustment to it. So, you know, that all members could feel, you know, a lot more, you know, I would say, feel that they're treated fairly and so on. And importantly as well, Chris, the fans of cricket must feel as though the system is fair, because at the end of the day, the fans who are investing in the game as well. And if you could have that sort of elevated level of confidence across all stakeholders, then the game could only benefit.
No,
I got a question.
Sure.
Hello. First, I extend my condolences to you and your family. I understand the stadium in New York, even after when they take down the stadium, they will still leave the field, which means you will have an international field in the New York area. Those of us who have lived in this New York area for umpteen years, I can tell you, anytime West Indies would come to play an international match there, it will be sold out.
Mm.
Just from the mere fact, you have the largest Caribbean expatriate community in the world living in this tri-state area. And many of us are starving to see the West Indies play live. You get to see them on the TV. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that something that you guys would think about going forward, because that playing in Florida is cool, but the folks down there don't come to see the cricket from a Caribbean perspective. But I can tell you, in New York, it's a totally different situation.
Yeah, we'll certainly look at the option, consider the possibility, crunch the numbers. But, you know, with the major investments taking place in the Caribbean as well, right? I'm sure that most of the officials, certainly Caribbean leaders, will be saying that, you know, let them come down to the Caribbean and watch some cricket. You know, we probably appreciate that. Good time to come back, Basil. Good time to return to Guyana. Anyway, one thing that cannot be replicated is the Caribbean atmosphere at the cricket match. Right. Don't go where in the world you go. Cannot be replicated.
I can tell you though, if you come in New York, that is as close as you can get.
7:42, gentlemen. There's actually something coming in here in terms of a WhatsApp message, but we're going to take a call. 441790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hello, peace welcome. Be on to each and every. Hello, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear.
Yeah, peace be on to each and everyone. Your last caller. I agree with the gentleman and the one that you cut off. A lot of persons do not appreciate Jason. What about I love Jason? And I know that he's a good cricketer. None of us ain't perfect, and you can't expect to say that a cricket is of glorious uncertainties. And one thing I can say about him, he's a gentleman, and he could master any interview, even better than his superiors.
Brilliant.
So I don't know what they want with Jason. Leave Jason alone for me.
Oh, he's going to be
brilliant. I have his back.
Right. But Gail, is that Gail?
Yes, it is me.
How are you, Gail?
Thankful. I'm very thankful for life.
Good. Are you in Dominica?
Yes, I still am. Yes, I am. I appreciate
you. You see, I know your business.
Coming along very well.
You see, I know your business. You see, I know your business.
You malicious, sir.
I want to thank you for calling. And
yes, and all the best. And I hope, as I heard you all saying that if India win,
yes,
the last match will be in Barbados. So I would like that happen because I want prosperity for my country.
Oh, okay, I see. You want a West Indies India finals, huh?
Yes.
Right. Well, we're hoping
thank
for that.
Thank you. God bless.
Yes. I mean, the private jets, the country can't hold
yes,
those
yes,
private jets,
yes,
according to Chris Darren. Thank you there. There's something coming in here. Good evening. What is going on with the World Cup merchandise, such as caps and shirts, and where can they be purchased? Philip, can you answer that? Philip?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for the question. They'll be available on match days at all the venues. So merchandise will be unveiled for the tournament, and there'll be West Indies shirts will be available as well.
So
rest assured to the message that merchandise will be indeed available at very attractive prices as well.
Isn't that so? That's not late though. You're on time with that, are you?
Well, it'll be available in matches, so there's the opportunity to go and get it.
Okay, so and that question came from someone in the States listening, and so I hope Andrew Chandler okay. there asking that question.
Andrew Chandler.
Yeah, Andrew Chandler,
former BCL cricketer.
Yes, he listens to the show all the time, and he's just sent that one in.
Yeah, good man.
And Dr. Don Marshall is saying very good show tonight. Sharp analysis and perspective. You know, when Dr. Don Marshall gives you credit, you have to be very good because he's a hard taskmaster. Thanks, Dr. Don Marshall, for listening to Missing Guests. Yes, Philo.
I've been asked to ask Dr. Shallow a question. Dr. Shallow, I offer you my condolences. But a former cricketer just actually rang me and he wants to know about if the former cricketers would be given any leverage in relation to passes for the World Cup games. He's based in Trinidad. And I know there'll be some practice matches as well as the LAR Academy. And I also want to ask you about your practice facilities in St. Vincent. Are they all shaped and ready? And who will be in St. Vincent practicing using your facilities down there? And you had Nepal. Yeah. I want you to also tell us how they embrace the Vincentian way. How they embrace your culture if they were happy with what they receive in St. Vincent for their warm-up matches and stuff like that.
Right. In terms of the former players, I mean, courtesies are normally extended to them whenever we host international cricket. I don't think this walk there'll be any exception. Obviously, there are times there, you know, communication is not perfect. But once they reach in touch with the national boards, I'm sure they'll be well accommodated. So that shouldn't be an issue. In terms of the facilities in St. Vincent, to my knowledge, and when I get an update, I mean, I haven't been to the two training facilities in St. Vincent, right? I've obviously been traveling and so on. But the reports that I've received from the organizing body, management for the World Cup, they have given all them a green light to say that they are ready. Not only in St. Vincent, but across the other five countries in the Caribbean and, in fact, in the USA as well. So I have absolutely no doubt that all the facilities are going to be ready. And that is certainly one of the legacy projects, right, where it's not just the main stadium in each country being developed, but they have the other additional facilities. So we expect that local cricket is going to benefit significantly from that, at least we'll hope.
Just before you move on, Doc, talking about facilities, have you heard that Weymouth has been pulled in Barbados by the ICC? Can you confirm this?
No, I haven't heard that. In fact, if I go through my document here...
They haven't said anything to you?
No, they haven't said so. Unless that is a recent Weymouth is police.
Yeah,
is
police. Police. Yes.
Is Weymouth police?
Yes, police. Yes.
Right. There were some observations being made there, but I think there was obviously they had a backup just in case. So they had Weymouth and 3W's Oval.
Yes.
As the two facilities. Right. So that is the last update I received.
Philip,
right, looking at mainly Weymouth Cricket Ground and 3W Oval.
Okay, so based on what you're saying, then Weymouth is out of the picture. Then, is that what you were saying, Doc?
Well, they didn't inform me that it was out, but there was some consideration.
Okay,
and listen, with events like these, Andrew, and I'm sure all the gentlemen on this call could tell you that you have backup plans in place, right? You don't expect a tournament of this magnitude to go without, you know, unforeseen events. And the great project managers and the success of these tournaments really come down to how strong your backup plans are,
right?
Plan B and C and D. And I think one of the things that offered me great comfort from the very outset when we started on the undertaking of this tournament is, you know, the level of planning and those additional options just in the event that plan A or B, you know, don't work out into to what is anticipated. So again, I could sit here very comfortable that, you know, come June the 4th, everything certainly in the Caribbean, you know, is going to be ready. And yeah, there's no reason for me to be worried or concerned that, you know, there'll be any hiccups or anything.
Wonderful.
Like that. And that obviously doesn't mean that it's going to be 100% smooth, but right. I trust the management team to ensure that it's still a success.
Nepal.
Andrew, there's some breaking
news. Yes. Yeah, what's the breaking news, Philip?
Chris and Usain will line up on Saturday.
Say that again.
Remember, Chris Gayle has challenged Usain Bolt to a 100-meter dash.
Really?
Apparently, that will happen on
On Saturday.
You haven't heard, Andrew?
Oh, okay. Oh.
They've invited Osaka Powell and Johan Blake because somebody has finished fourth.
I'm sure Dr. Ford will enjoy that. And if there are any injuries, of course, Dr. Ford will take care of the injuries. He will assess the injuries. Yeah, Doc, shall I just go back to Nepal? How did you treat them there in St. Vincent?
Nepal enjoyed their stay. They're actually looking forward to returning here for their group games. They played some good cricket against a Windward Islands team. I think it was 2-1 in the end. But, you know, I tend to be a good host from time to time in St. Vincent. And obviously, I know Monty Desire, who used to be our batting coach, and Radia Smith as well. So I extended some courtesies to them that, you know, that if any of you goodly gentlemen want to come to St. Vincent, I'll do the same for you.
Mm.
But they left, you know, ready to return, Philo. So
any big hotels
They actually had a tour of the facility as well.
Mm.
Sorry?
I understand you've got a big hotel there.
Andrew?
A big hotel there being built. Is that true? Is it completed? I know you got sandals. Well,
arguably, according to Adam Stewart, the best Sanders resort is in St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Yes. Confirmed by Chris. Confirmed by Chris Darien.
And Andrew, I'm sure at the end of this World Cup, you could afford a nice vacation.
Yes, I would think so. I would think so as well. Yes, indeed. I like that. Philip, time is very tight. Tell us how things are going. Sales are going well, Philip. Are we going to get bumper crows from?
Well, first, Andrew, I must agree with Dr. Shallow on that sandals.
Yeah. How good is it? How good is it?
It's a magnificent facility. I can't compare it to all the other sandals I've only been to the one in Antigua, Barbados, and St. Lucia, and that's purely by invitation, not by being able to afford it.
Mm.
But the one in St. Vincent, Andrew's
at this. Where in St. Vincent is it? Where in St. Vincent is it?
The tournament helped me. It's really old Bookerman.
Okay.
Bookerman Bear Resort, okay. Where that was.
And that was lovely. That was a lovely facility.
Yeah. We're doing well, Andrew, in terms of readiness. Everybody's prepared. You know, across the region, as an organization, we're feeling comfortable and confident that we can deliver this event on behalf of the people of the West Indies because we are the custodians and we're the one with responsibility. So nobody's having a laugh or a giggle or anything. Everybody's seriously approaching their work, and I'm really, really excited for what is to happen in the next couple of weeks across the region. Obviously, everybody's aware that the final is all but sold out, and are looking forward to that. But there's still tickets available for the other matches.
Philip.
Yes.
Yes,
Doc. Andrew, just for me to come in and then just give. Yeah, let me just give some exact figures. So, as of last Thursday, we had sold over 106,000 tickets, which is around say 40% thereabout.
Okay.
And that was before our series win against South Africa. Now we expect that with a strong performance from West Indies in the first couple games, we'll see ticket sales certainly increasing for those Super 8. And people are, you know, waiting. And maybe I appreciate to be waiting to see, you know, if the team's qualified for the Super 8 and so on. While there are obviously some who booking in anticipation that the team going to get through. But we expect that over the next week or 2 weeks, you'll definitely see, you know, the numbers moving up more like to 70, 75. And then in the final couple of weeks, hopefully, you know, quite a few of the matches, in addition to the final and semifinal, which we know for sure are going to be sold out, but we'll expect. And that number, the numbers that I just gave you are strictly for the Caribbean only, not the USA.
How is it going in the USA? I almost call you Dr. Darren, but I can call you Dr. Darren. How's it going in the USA? Lots of ticket sales.
Yeah, but I mean the Dallas and Broward stadiums are smaller venues, and really only since they're only hosting first round matches, the full capacity isn't being used. So I know the Broward stadium tickets are going very well. We just got a new batch to go on sale now from the, you know, the various sponsors, really. So that is now being, that's kind of the last of the batches to go on sale. And the hospitality tickets are still available, but those are the really expensive ones. So which is what I was saying, the local here are not too enamored with those prices, especially if the West Indies is not playing here. So which is why we're putting on the West Indies New Zealand fan park. So that, you know, what we're doing up here, Dr. Shallow, is putting on a fan park with the West Indies New Zealand game on big screen, you know, having some entertainers come up, somebody from Ravi B from Trinidad. Haven't finalized the Jamaican artist as yet. But you know, to make it a nice festival affair for the car here. With the big screen right at the stadium as well. Yeah. But it's going to be an official event, branding, merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. Give them a taste of the World Cup up here, of the West Indies flavor World Cup up here, since they don't get any West Indies matches. But the tickets are going well here, Andrew.
I would like to see the capacity, Chris.
One thing before I go is that I know that you're on yourself and Philip. I think the Caribbean needs to appreciate the kind of work that is taking place, the challenge that you have. And, you know, the magnitude of the occasion, and to give you guys all the support that you need. I'm talking now even to media, like people like Andrew Mason.
Right.
Anybody who can influence.
Right.
It always struck me during 2000, for the World Cup in 2007, Andrew.
Right.
The only person that ever called me for the 10 years leading up to the World Cup, that was a local journalist, was Tony Kozier.
Oh, okay.
International media nonstop. And it always struck me that, wow, my media has got to be in support of this event. Because the international media is going to look for every possible negative story. Oh. That's in nature. Our media must tell the truth. Must seek out the truth. Talk to Dr. Shallow. Support him. Talk to Philip. Anytime you're hearing rumors, talk to them. Get the truth. Spread the truth. And spread the both sides of the story, so to speak. So I really want to commend Dr. Shallow and his team. Everybody, you know, some of them were with me in 2007, so I can't help but feel a sense of pride when I see some of them. Well, who were youngsters back then, who are seasoned operators. And I really wish them all the best. I think it's going to be a fantastic event, and the Caribbean is going to be made proud by this team.
Well, I really want to thank you for being very much a part of this program. In fact, unfortunately, time has caught up with us. And I want to thank you, of course, Chris Darren, for coming and talking to us. Thanks to you, Basil, as well. Doc, I know this is a very difficult time for you, Dr. Shallow, but be strong. And, of course, always good to have Philo Wallace on the show. And Philip Spooner, I hope to have you on the show. We're going to do a very special show on Friday. So we look forward to that from 2:30 on to 3 o'clock. We're going to certainly be looking at that build-up to the World Cup. I'll tell you a bit more about that. Thanks to you as well, Dr. Ford, for being on the show. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.